Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, by whom also he made the worlds, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, by whom we have now received the atonement, by whom are all things, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. This is Jesus whom we're talking about, by whom all of these things, he's made the worlds, he's done everything. And sometimes we greet people in the name of Jesus and forget who Jesus is and what he has done and who he is. And he's everything. Without the power of Jesus, we wouldn't be here. In fact, it says that God created the world through Jesus in some way. I don't understand how it works, but that's part of it. The subject this morning is one that we find in the very first verse of the Bible. It's an aspect of the character of God. It's one of the ways by which we come to know God and his ways. The first verse of the Bible goes like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's 10 words. That's how God chose to begin the book that we call the Bible, or the Word of God. And John, in his gospel, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later he says, Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this is Jesus. The subject that I would like to talk about this morning is named for the first time in the second verse of the second chapter of the Bible. It goes like this. And on the seventh day, God created the seventh day, God ended his work which he has done and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. You may have guessed by now, but the subject for this morning's sermon is work. How can you talk about work for a whole sermon? Work is very, very important. Now, contrary to what we often think, work is not the result of the curse that came when man sinned in the garden. Have you ever thought of it? That work is not the result of the curse. Now, some aspects of work is the result of the curse, such as the sweat that we have and the hard work and the toil. Some of those aspects are part of the curse. But work itself is not. As we see from the very beginning of the Bible, working is a part of who God is, actually. After God created man, he planted a garden. And he immediately gave man the work of dressing the garden. So here we have God working, creating the world, and then he made a garden, a special place for man to live in. But he didn't just say, there you are. All you have to do is sleep and eat. Sleep and eat. Now, sometimes we think that would be a good way to exist. But life is a lot more than just sleeping and eating. God created this garden, planted this garden, and he put man in there. And he said, now you dress and keep it. You, in an essence, you create, you increase the value of what I've created. As Adam worked there, he dressed and kept it. Ireland has a lot of gardens. I've enjoyed walking through some of these gardens. And it takes somebody to dress and to keep those gardens. If if you walk into a garden that hasn't been kept well, what do you find? You find weeds. You find flowers that aren't doing well. You find vegetables that look puny and small. You find things that are just not kept up the way they should be. I have a few questions before we go into reading the text for the day. What is the general attitude of the world toward work? You can respond to this question. What is the general attitude of the world toward work?
Necessarily evil.
That work is kind of evil. Work is kind of distasteful. Anyone else?
Necessity.
Work is something you have to do, right? I remember a bumper sticker. Now, do you have bumper stickers here? I don't see very many of them in Ireland, but one of them, yes.
Something you have to do in order to get leisure.
Good thought, Jeanette. Work is just something that you have to do in order to get leisure, leisure time. There's another bumper sticker that illustrates another reason people work. I owe, so off to work I go. And, sometimes we think that is the main reason we have to work is to pay off our debt, to get money. Now, many times people think of work as I said, drudgery, a necessary evil, something to dread and get finished with quickly so that we can play, just like Jeanette was saying. Something that we try to get done with and then we can go play. Is that the attitude that we should have as Christians, should have toward work? Or what attitude should we have toward work? Anyone?
We're always working if we're living the way we should in following the footsteps of Christ. We should also be working.
Okay. Yeah. I was talking to a man last evening and said he came from a place of thinking of work as drudgery, and he got to a place of thinking of work as being something enjoyable, something that is it's creating value for some. It's enjoyable, actually, even to the point of sometimes we like our work so much that we'd maybe work longer and harder than we should. Has that ever happened? Sometimes it happens to me. Let's turn to Matthew 6, verse 24 to 34, and you can rise for the reading of the word. This passage is a part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm told that C.S. Lewis was once asked if he cared for the Sermon on the Mount. C.S. Lewis responded like this. He said, as to caring for the Sermon on the Mount, if caring for here means liking or enjoying, I suppose no one cares for it. Who can like being knocked flat on his face by a sledgehammer? I can hardly imagine a more deadly spiritual condition than that of a man who can read the passage with tranquil pleasure. That's what C.S. Lewis said. So we're going to read the passage here, a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and see what Jesus has to say. Starting verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon in this case actually means money. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You may be seated. Let's pray. Bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you would bless the reading of your word to our hearts. As we think of the instructions that Jesus gave, and also of the problems that we have with worrying sometimes, maybe many times, about these things Jesus spoke about, that we should not need to worry. Father, we pray that you would help us to gather thoughts together, to present thoughts about work and about how we should approach life in such a way that we can leave this place with encouragement to face the new week, the new days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, going to the first verse that I read, it says, no man, I'm going to read in the King James Version, not the New King James, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't serve God and money at the same time. Now, that's a problem sometimes. Because this is what Jesus says. Now, when we serve God, we can use money, but a lot of times people serve money and they use God. You use God to try to get money. Dear Lord, please help me. I need your help today to make 500 euros or whatever it might be. We're so concerned about the money that we're after. You can't serve God and money at the same time. But you can serve God and use money. Because when you serve God and you're out there working, then the byproduct of work is, one of the byproducts of work is actually money. So what are you going to do with it? There's a verse in the Bible that says, and I remember posting it on one of my first workplaces, it says, so work that you may have to give to those who have need. That is one of the reasons for working, so that you may have to give to those who have need. Many times we think the only reason for working is like so that we can find time to spend it on leisure sometime, or so that we can pay off our debt, or so that we can support our family, or there's a lot of reasons that people give for why they're working. But working is actually something that we do, and as we do it, we get to know God better. So, two options: serving God and using money, or serving money and using God. I think that we never, ever want to serve money and use God. Think about that. So, because of this, Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, take no thought, or do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He says, now, just look around. Just look around a little bit. Look at the fowls of the air, the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And sometimes we feed them as well. There's a certain thing that I enjoy doing when we have extra bread at the shop. I'll take it and I'll feed a certain class of birds that some of the girls at the shop think aren't really that great. But it's part of feeding God's creation. But think about it. Did you ever see a bird sow or reap? No, they don't go out and plow and put seeds in the ground. But God feeds them. What about the lilies of the field? The flowers that grow, they're so beautiful. And Jesus says, even Solomon in all his glory was not outfitted like a flower of the field. So why should we be anxious? Why should we worry? Why should we? We do, but why should we? We don't need to. It says, which of you by taking thought, in other words, being anxious about, worrying about, can add a cubit to his stature, can make yourself one a bit taller? There's a lot of times I'd like to be a little bit taller. I have a wife that carries around a little stool at home because she needs a little bit of extra height. And she looks with longing sometimes at taller people who just reach in over the refrigerator. And just yesterday, we were watching somebody wash a car, and they said, wouldn't it be nice to just reach all the way across the top of the car and wash the car like that? But by thinking hard, Karen cannot add 1 inch or even a half inch to her stature. This just doesn't work. So why do we be anxious about that? But God has other ways of taking care of us. He says, don't worry. Don't be anxious about those things. And then I said already about the lilies of the field and Solomon. And he says, don't, therefore, because of all this, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Whenever we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be accomplished. What are we really saying? Aren't we saying the simple verse that I'd like to concentrate on more than any other verse here in this chapter, in this passage? Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be accomplished. In other words, what is God's kingdom? Isn't it his rule and reign? Isn't it his government? So instead of worrying about what we're going to eat or drink, we should be concerned about, and I don't say we shouldn't be anxious about, but we should do what Jesus said, seek, look for the kingdom of God. So as you go to the workplace tomorrow, as you work this afternoon, whatever it might be, because in a sense, everything that we do, in one sense of the word, is actually working. Somebody said it like this one time. They said that what we should teach our children is to create value. We shouldn't teach our children to look for ways of making money, but we should teach our children, and I'm speaking to myself here, teach myself how to create value in the work that I'm doing. So in other words, increase the value. So practically, how does that work? Yesterday, I saw that I had some sugar that was in the back of the car. And it was starting to, I don't like to have sugar in the back of the car because it slowly, it eventually it makes things sticky and yucky. So the car is less valuable when it gets messy, when it gets messed up, okay? So when you clean something, you're literally increasing its value. So our work should always be concentrated on how can we create value. When God created the heavens and the earth, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then it says, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was like a chaotic place. What did God do with this chaotic place? Did he just leave it that way? That some people call it the primordial soup. He took and he started putting things in order. And he brought order out of disorder. Now, when we just recently, well, our son and daughter-in-law are moving into a new place. And I keep seeing pictures that our daughter-in-law is sending to us saying, another day of organizing and taking things and putting it in boxes and getting it ready to move to the new place. So that is work. It's creating value. And it's not, she's not getting money for it, but she's doing something that is valuable. Parents, when you train your children, you're teaching them obedience, teaching them neatness, teaching them orderliness. You are creating value for the world that we're living in. You're creating citizens that will become valuable in the world that we're living in today. It's, what if everybody would just say, and I'm afraid it's happening too much. Well, the children really can't be trained that well. I read yesterday that America spends a lot more money on training their dogs and their cats and their horses than they do on training their children. And so you have obedient horses and you have obedient dogs and you have this and this and this that's obedient, but children aren't being taught to be obedient. There's no value being, there's people don't understand how important it is to create value with whatever we do with our work. As I said before, money is only a byproduct. So we shouldn't go after the money. Many times, if we do a good job at the workplace, people will start seeing that, and they will increase your pay. They will. So then the question is, what am I going to do with the extra money? Well, then you think about, because many times people have with a Christian, then you think, well, how can I use this? And you can even take the money and increase its value by investing it in the right place. And Jesus says that you should take your treasure, for where your treasure is, there your heart is, and you should place it in places in heavenly things, because that is where you will reap the reward down the road in the future. It's a place that moth and rust does not corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal. So that's where we need to place, to make sure that our money gets put in the right places where it does the best and most good. I don't think when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, that he was saying, now stop working and instead spend our days looking for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Or he didn't mean that you should just go to work and post a little Bible verse every day and then go to and spend the rest of your time working hard. And you think you've done your job now because you're doing this little spiritual thing. Life is a continual day by day working in all the little ways. I also came across a man, a 20-year-old, who went to work for a plumber. And he was a Christian. And he was plumbing a house, and he was very carefully putting the pipes in the floor down in the basement. And he was doing a great job of it. His boss came along and looked at the work he was doing, and he was interested only in making more money. He said, "Why are you doing that up there?" I mean, he said, "I'm doing my work for the Lord." Because, you know, why are you doing it? He said, "I'm doing it to do a good job." "Nobody's ever going to see that." "The Lord will." "You're fired." The boss had the wrong idea. He was going after the money. He was willing to actually cut corners. He was willing to do things that are morally wrong in order to gain something that he thought was worth more than a good job. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means to think about God's governance. What is God doing? That still small. The kingdom of God means, living in the kingdom of God for me means you listen to the still small voice that is in your heart that God teaches you. Now, you need to teach yourself through the Word of God as well. Don't just assume that your conscience is always perfect, because sometimes our conscience needs some training. But let's think of it this way. If you're living under the governance of God, and then it says, and His righteousness. So now I'm out there. I'm working. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And now I all at once, let's say I'm an accountant, I realize, oh, I could tweak the books a little bit, and I could take a little bit of money, and I could increase my paycheck. Nobody'd ever know about it. Would that be seeking God's righteousness? No, because what's actually happening is now you're living under the righteousness of God, whether people see it or not. There are a lot of different ways that people can find to take shortcuts, to find a shortcut to riches, to getting by in life. But it's not God's righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You don't have to worry. Think, oh, but if I'm on the job here and I have a little extra, let's say maybe, I know of people who have literally been able to build a house, or at least parts of a house, by things they took off the job and went home with it without telling their boss. Now, if the boss is willing to say, "Yeah, go ahead, take that home. We're going to throw it away anyhow," that's one thing. But if you pilfer it, if you take it, and you use it to build your own house, then that's not seeking God's righteousness. So I hope I'm getting you to think about work is something that pervades my whole life, my whole being, my everything that I do, and it changes my whole perspective. If I'm just out there trying to skim off a profit every day of my life and don't ever give back in any way, then my life is empty. It's not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to worry about how am I going to get my next meal? How am I going to get my next roof over my head? So remember, our first priority should be the furtherance of the kingdom of God, how God does things. As I said before, He started with what looked like chaos, disorganization, disorder. He took all these basic building blocks, and He created the world and all that is in it. Many times, as I said, that is also what we start with. Look around, see what needs to be done, and see how you can create value. God's way for us is to take what is and increase its value. Teach your children to create value first. Don't chase after money, because money is a store of value. Money isn't the end-all, be-all, end-all, or whatever you call it. Focus on value creation. Material value? What about emotional value? Can I focus on creating emotional value for people? What about the boys who are emotionally bankrupt, in a sense, that are being worked with out at the camp? And we prayed for them. We pray for them regularly. One of our goals is to increase the value of, increase the ability for them to emotionally deal with life. And then we focused on value creation, and that goes a long, long way. What about spiritual values? This morning, one of the goals is that we focus on spiritual value, and hopefully you can walk away from here with your spiritual values increased a little bit, so you understand. And you, when you're out there working, there's a purpose. There's a reason for this. There's a goal that gives satisfaction and gives it just creates value in people's lives. So that is what I have for the day. And it's been helpful for me to think about what it is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Yesterday was a little bit of a troublesome day. I have to confess, here I was. The day before, I tried to arrange things so that I'd have a little relaxing day. And I was actually did not hear a message that came at 5 o'clock in the morning, which I should have been able to hear. And I didn't hear the message saying, "We have no water at the shop." And it wasn't until after 8 o'clock sometime that I got the phone call. And at the same time I was getting a phone call, I was getting a knock on the door. And the one was our neighbor needing a ride down to the chemist. And the other one was one of the girls at the shop saying, "Did you know we don't have any water down here?" And then it was like the rest of the day was concentrated on dealing with some of those problems. But hopefully in the end, one of the things that I created value in was taking all those dirty dishes, not all of them, some of them, and taking them up and putting them into our little sink where they barely fit in, but we had a little bit of warm water, and I was able to actually clean that. Did I get any money for it? No. Did I get any satisfaction out of it? Yes. That is what life is all about, in just doing the things that come your way, and with God's help and grace, doing them well. So may God bless you as you consider your work as something that God has given, something that's like it's the character of God. It's his character to create value out of nothing. And he takes us that are broken and in need. And as we ask, he will help us and he'll put things together for us. And I loved the message. I wasn't here last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I think it was when Dan preached about how we can come to Jesus. And we need to ask, and he will put us together again. May God bless you. I'm kind of going a little longer than I needed to. Let's kneel for prayer.